Hey, this is Pastor Rory Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching.
Second Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5. I'm reading from the New International Version, so it may sound a little different. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does.
Okay.
The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So we're going to continue talking about figuring things out. We're in this series. This is part three. We're in a series entitled Figuring Things Out, which is rooted in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10, where the backdrop is that a proverb or a wise saying, an insightful saying, an insightful truth is given to leverage you and I to give us the advantage in unfavorable circumstances and situations, uncontrollable moments, so that we can thrive, come out with victory, prosperity, and sanity where others may not have the same level of success because they're not privy to the information we have. And so today, as we're trying to figure things out, week one, you have to figure out your faith, how you can leverage your faith to be used by God to give you the victory. Last week, we dealt with finances because you do have to figure out your finances during this time. And today, we're going to talk about figuring out my fight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. I'm just going to jump. We're going to jump into
We're just going to
rock and roll with it. I see new people are coming on. Come on, join us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5. Now, the significance of this, when I talk about my fight and my head go down, is because I have some key notes I want to make sure I don't miss. And that's the only reason I'm dropping my head down. But the significance of my fight is this right here. If you and I are not properly encouraged and equipped with the tools and truths on how to fight, then we're going to give leverage, opportunity, and advantage to the enemy to bring us into a spirit of defeat and a spirit of discouragement because we don't know how to leverage the tools God has given us to fight for the victory that he's already given us.
Right.
And so today, what we're going to emphasize is this right here. I want to make sure you know what kind of fight you're in, and I want to make sure each of us know the necessary tools we need to fight with so that we can overcome victory, doubt, and stress this situation. I want to make sure you know what kind of fight we're in and also know what are the required weapons I need to fight off fear, doubt, and stress. Because hear me, just because people around you are stressed don't mean you have to be stressed. Because people around you are fearful doesn't mean you have to be fearful. Just because people around you are in insecurity and uncertainty doesn't mean you have to be like that. But it hinges on you knowing what type of fight you're in and knowing how to use the weapons God has given you. And the reason we highlight this is because in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, we live in this world, but we don't fight like this world.
That's
so immediately he's drawing a distinct line that says, an unbeliever fights one way, but a believer fights another way.
Right.
Both are in the world, but both of them fight different.
Right.
Both the believer and the unbeliever, we both live in this world, but we don't fight as a believer like those who belong to this world. As a believer, as someone who has given their life to Christ, not perfect, but as someone who has submitted and surrendered their heart to the lordship of Jesus Christ, whereby his authority, supremacy, and sovereignty influences my decisions, my desires, and my directions, that influences not only my decisions in life, but it influences how I fight in this world, everything that opposes the truth of God. And so he says, we live in this world, but we don't fight like this world. You ready to jump in already? Go ahead. You ready to jump in?
I love that.
If you read that, if you read 2 Corinthians 10 in the Message Bible, I love the Message Bible because it just puts it in that everyday English language. And it says, the world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way.
Yeah.
And I just think it puts that in a way that we can understand that. We are living in this time where half the city is open, half the city is closed. People have opinions flying every which way. And so there is a tendency to want to fight the way you see the world fighting. But that's not what God has called us to. And so if we're going to win this race, if we're going to win this battle, you know, on the spiritual side, then we have to fight with our spiritual weapons. So we'll go.
And that's why he says the weapons that we use to fight with, they're not carnal.
Right,
they are
right.
not of this world. Now, they're not flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we don't fight flesh and blood.
Right.
Let's be clear about this. People are never our problem. Mm. People are never our problem.
Okay.
The book of Hosea says it this way. In the womb, Jacob grabbed the heel of Esau.
Okay.
He got. Now, but when he matured, he recognized he was wrestling with God. So what that says is this, immature people always see people as their problem.
That's good.
Mature people always know their issue is a wrestle with God.
That's good.
I'm going to say it again. Immature people always see people as their problem. Mature people know that they're always wrestling with God. So Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. And even President Trump said that this whole coronavirus is an invisible enemy.
So if
something is invisible, it's telling you then it's not flesh and blood. It's not natural. And I use that to pivot to say many people, like you say, are trying to fight in this season through busyness. They're trying to use education. They're trying to use money. They're trying to use their political affiliation.
Right.
They're trying to use just human effort. But Paul says, no, the weapons that we use to fight, they are not traditional.
Okay.
They're not natural. They're not cultural. They are spiritual.
That's
because
right.
if it's not carnal and it's not natural, then it's spiritual. It's eternal truths. It's eternal perspectives. Mm-hmm. It's eternal practices. And one of the things I said is this right here. Although those things that I mentioned are good, I'm not anti-education. We went to great schools. We're not anti-education. We're not anti-finances because
right.
God wants you out of debt.
Right.
You need to be out of debt. You need money. Now, what God is telling us is this right here, that those natural tools are to be minor in our fight, not major.
Okay.
Because when you and I make minor things, major roles, then they pull us away from trusting God.
That's good. That's good.
I'm going to say it again. God is not saying don't use money because Lord knows we're sympathetic and empathetic with those who are furloughed, lost jobs. We're believing God with you. And so God is not saying you don't need money. Just, you know, just know that I'm going to provide. Well, God, you can't give, you know, the scriptures to T-Mobile or to Xfinity or to Kroger. You have to give them some real currency.
Right.
And so he's not saying that. What he's saying is all of those things are resources, but they're not sources. You have to use what I have given you as the source to get your victory, stay victorious. They are to have a minor role, but not a major role, because whenever you and I allow things that God has called minor to become major, they pull us away from trusting God in a major way.
Okay.
And so don't major in the minors, major in the major that God is going to co-sign.
Amen.
And so when I look at this, our weapons are rooted in our faith in God. And they are used by faith in God.
Amen.
They have their origin in God, and we have to trust God. Mm-hmm. That's why everything we're dealing with in this series, figuring out our faith, figuring out our finances, figuring out our fight, next week, figuring out our family, friendships, and relationships, figuring out our future, all of those things are coming from the foundation of figuring out my faith in God. So even to fight in this season, it's a faith fight.
Right.
It's a faith fight.
Right. And I don't know if you mentioned it, but you were talking about earlier going to in 1 Timothy 6.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 Timothy 6, what we see is he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And here's the thing with this is that sometimes we can be lulled to think that faith is just something the Lord is just going to put on us and we don't have to activate.
Yes.
You know, that we don't have to actually engage and be intentional about.
Yes.
And so I know as we jump into this message and talk about how we can figure out our fight, how we can engage in that fight, one thing we can't forget is that we have to engage.
Yes.
And that we can't sit back on the sidelines and be like, Lord, why aren't you in the game for
mm-hmm.
me? No, we
That's
have
good.
To engage. The scripture says to fight the good fight
yes.
of faith. Take hold. And I love these action words because it's saying there's something for me to do. I have to take hold of the eternal life to which I have been called. I have been called. I have been graced. I have
yes.
been empowered to live the life at this level, but I have to go do it.
I have to engage. It won't happen. It won't happen by accident.
Right.
You're going to have to engage. And so that's why Paul says the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Right.
I got to take captive these thoughts, these images,
yes,
these pictures
yes.
in my mind, these visions of defeat, these images, these nightmares of that I'm going to be broke. I'm going to be in poverty.
That's
I'm going
right.
to be sick.
Right.
I'm going to die early. My kids won't thrive. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the home. We're going to lose a job. I got to cast down
yes.
all these
yes.
thoughts that exalt themselves against the truth of God's word,
yes.
the truth that God is going to prosper me, change me, bless me, heal me, deliver me, keep me, sustain me, grow me, enlarge me, fulfill his word. I got to take them captive, meaning I got to arrest them and lead them away from the place of being able to influence me. That's why it's not a natural fight. That's why you and I got to figure out this fight. And it starts with this battle in the mind that says, God, I need to reassess the tools in my toolbox by which I think I'm going to get the victory. Let's be honest. For some of us, we think that we're going to get it by worry.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, I'm going to get it. They think they're going to get it by manipulation.
Right.
They're going to get it. Some people think I'm going to get it by being self-centered. And because the law of self-preservation kick in, I can't be generous. I can't look out for another family.
Okay.
None of those things lends itself to victory. You're going to have to choose the weapons that God will back, and none of the weapons of this world will ever give you the breakthrough that you really want. You have to fight God's way and use God's tool. And
okay.
so watch
That's
this.
Good.
So here we go. We're going to jump into these. And now, I see everybody commenting different things. Go ahead. Give us your comments, your feedback. Give
and
us questions.
Questions.
Give
yeah.
us questions if you have questions as we go along. But let's go ahead and jump into this and let's rock and roll. I think we have five just practical truths we want to give you in this season that's going to watch this, not only arm you mm-hmm. for success, but it's going to bring you in the alignment and agreement that activates God's power to ensure that you have victory. Because watch this. I can be a soldier in battle, and I got a gun. I got all the stuff that they have given me. But if I don't know how to use it,
I'm up a creek.
I will get beaten with the gun in my, still in the sheath. So I want to give you five right. practical truths and ways to figure out, to harness the things you need, the tools you need in such a way that God's power will be activated to make sure in this time, in this season, you are prosperous, victorious,
Amen.
And you see the hand of God move in every
Amen.
Area of your life. Number one, watch this. Follow God fearlessly. Follow God fearlessly. Follow God fearlessly. Follow God fearlessly. And the reason I say that is because many people are looking, they're looking at this season and they're trying to determine the outcome. And because they can't see the outcome, they're cautious. Don't want to leave home, don't want to go to work, don't want to go to the store. Now, I'm not saying be foolish and be unwise. I'm
right.
saying human nature is to try to determine the outcome even before you have all the information.
Right.
And to make a decision with half the information. That's the world's way. God says, you got to follow me fearlessly. You got to follow me with a level of confidence that I would never lead you to your demise or destruction. I will always lead you to the place of fulfillment of my word, of your purpose, mm-hmm. and of your potential. So you follow me fearlessly because you know I'm never going to lead you into destruction. I'm never going to lead you to dysfunction. I'm never going to lead
good.
You to
That's
demise.
Good.
I'm never going to lead you into defeat. You watch this. You may look like you're being defeated, but I would never lead you into defeat. Even
right.
if it looked like you're defeated, I'm going to lead you past that feeling, and I'm going to lead you to the place of victory. I'm going to lead you to the place of security. I'm going to lead you to the place of stability. And now, this is challenging because remember, when Israel comes out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, because they went through the wilderness, they thought it was defeat.
Right.
And so they made a permanent decision in a temporary season.
That's good.
Because they couldn't see the full outcome, even though God told them, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Right.
See, here's the problem with following God. I want God to give me all the details.
Yeah.
And when God doesn't give me all the details, my human nature is, what you don't know is a license for me to go back to what's familiar.
That's good. That's good. And you mentioned about, you know, sometimes when we are, when we're not following God fearlessly, we can tend to retreat in fear. Mm-hmm. But there's the, also the opposite of that. Sometimes we can begin to step out.
Yes, yes.
Prematurely.
Yes.
And so what we don't want to do is we don't want to step out prematurely. We don't want to retreat in fear. It's the picture of a child with parents. Yeah. You know, and you follow your parents, especially the younger children. They follow their parents. Whatever mommy says, we're going into this store, and they're going into that store, and there's no fear and there's no hesitation. Mm-hmm. They just go. And that's what we're saying when we say follow God fearlessly, saying, Lord, my faith is in you. My eyes are on you. And so the steps I take are at your direction.
Yes.
I'm not trying to figure this thing out. And especially nowadays, you know, yes. We can just be real. Nowadays, yes. Depending on the channel you turn to, you'll hear a different message about the season that we're in.
Yes.
You can
yes,
hear
yes.
that it's all horrible. You can hear it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to hear God. Lord, yes. What are you
yes.
saying?
Yes.
What
yes.
are you saying for my family in this condition at yes. this time? Should I go out? Should I stay in? You know, this is the time we have to follow God fearlessly.
And watch this. And this is just a natural practice that I want to pivot to a spiritual truth. When we get into the habit of trying to figure things out based upon what makes sense, mm-hmm. as opposed to following God fearlessly and faithfully, every time we get into the habit of trying to figure things out based upon logic, reason, and rationale, we open up the door for other options that are only going to cause us not to trust God.
Mm, okay.
Because every other option then says, trust yourself,
right.
trust your money,
right.
trust your ability to hustle, trust your ability to network. So right. I get away from trusting God. I get away from
seeking God.
I get away from obeying God. I get away from fighting with the weapons that God has given me to get the victory. So I got to follow him fearlessly. The more I follow him fearlessly, I know I'll end up in the winner's circle. You may be in the wilderness season right now,
right.
but you got to know he's leading you through the wilderness. Yeah, you may not be able to have all the details, all the information, but if God brought you out of Egypt, he's taking you to your Canaan land, your promised land, the
That's
place
good.
Of milk
That's
and
good.
Honey, the place of the newness of life, the sweetness of life, the freshness of life. So be very careful while you're figuring things out. Be very careful about making permanent decisions
yes.
because you have a temporary yes. frustration.
That's good. That
Don't
is good.
Do that. Follow God fearlessly. And I'm about to go into point number two. My baby girl, Reagan, she forever will be my baby girl, even though sometimes I know she looks at daddy.
She is 10.
She is 10. But one of the things she would do, especially if she comes down to my office, and my office is in the basement, and I start turning off all the lights, and I say, okay, Reagan, let's come on, let's go. I'm going upstairs, I'm going to bed, do X, Y, Z. And sometimes I would tell her to walk in front of me, you know, and she may be like, no, I'm good, I'm coming, Dad, I'm coming. But what she would do is she would get behind me. And even if I don't turn on a light, she would just follow me because all she knows is daddy is leading me. Mm-hmm. Daddy is leading me. And I'm just trying to tell you, if God is leading you, you're going to end up in
right.
a place of safety and prosperity and victory.
That's
but
good.
You got to follow fearlessly.
That's good.
Don't stay in the basement of life waiting on details when your father is saying, get up and just follow me. Right. Number two, love God limitlessly. First, I got to follow God fearlessly. Secondly, love God limitlessly. Now, here's what's fascinating. In the Bible, love is synonymous with really obeying. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. You will keep my scripture. So love is synonymous with obeying. And whenever we start talking about love, love is an expression of faith. Because when someone says they love you, you are giving them a credit line with your heart.
Okay.
Based upon their professions and based upon their promises. I love you. So you're taking to heart their words, their promises, their confess, what they're going to do, baby, I'm going to buy you a house. It's going to be on top of the hill, and it's going to be cherry wood floors, and it's going to have the granite cabinet. It's going to have the granite countertops, and it's going to have stainless steel refrigerator. All this, you're giving them a credit line with your heart, and then you make the adjustment to start aligning yourself with what they promise. That's the same as with God. God gives us promises and assurances. And now he says, I just need you to obey what I'm saying. Bring yourself into alignment with that. Because you love me, you give me this credit line. Here's the problem, if we're honest. I'm about to get in trouble. When you're in love or when you even think you're in love, it causes you to look like a fool. Because you know why? You don't care what people think because all you want to do is please the one you love and appreciate and honor and respect and value the most. And one of the weapons we use in this season to make sure we get the victory is we got to love God limitlessly. We got to obey God. You will never overcome opposition through disobedience.
Amen. Amen.
Never overcome through disobedience, only by obeying God. Even if you look like a fool, one of the reasons, and again, you guys know our hearts. One of the reasons we continue to give and tithe during this time is because we obey God. Now, everything in my flesh, that which is opposite of God, everything about my human nature says, don't be generous. Look out for you and your family.
Right.
Close up. Just make sure your house got food. Just make sure your house has toilet paper and paper towels. Everything about the human nature is selfish. Please be clear, because God already told us it is in the Bible. But the reason we continue to tithe, continue to give, is not because we are fearful. It's because we recognize, God, we got to obey you.
Right.
Because we obey you willfully. We obey you because we recognize we love you.
Right.
And we want to stay consistent and match our works with what we confess out of our mouths. And I said this, and I'm going to let you chime in real fast. I said this right here. Loving God limitlessly means I got to obey with God without excuses or exemptions. Are you looking for an excuse and exemption not to trust God just because things are hard right now?
That's good. That's good. And I believe it really does lead into our third point. But when we talk about loving God limitlessly, we're really talking about taking the chains of restriction off of our walk with the Lord. One of the things that I keep hitting in conversations with just people during this season, and I keep referring back to this COVID-19 season because it's so ever-present in our lives.
This is
literally a time of demarcation in our life and in our generation that we will look back and we will say we fought the good fight of faith, or we'll look back with regret to what we didn't do during this time. But when we're talking about loving God limitlessly and obeying the Lord, we're taking the chains of restriction off. Either his word is true or his word is not.
Yes.
And I believe the Lord, there is a challenge to us as believers and to people who know they should be believers but are not walking in that. The challenge is we're going to take God at his word, at his truth, or we are not.
Yes.
There's no gray. There's no middle ground. So as we love God limitlessly and we take the chains off, we can then do our point number three, which is praise God passionately. Because it's hard to praise the Lord with full passion, with all that you are, and you have your love for him, your obedience to him, in a box, in chains.
Come on. She starts and then throws it at me. Y'all see that?
Hold on.
But go ahead. Give us your questions. Give us your comments. If you have any questions, I don't want to just go through this message. And if you have questions, here's the beauty. We're going to use what the enemy has meant for evil for our good, for his glory, for our transformation. Mm-hmm. So if you got a question, comment, feedback, insight, go ahead and post it. PK is trying to see them while she helped tag team. She's multitasking and doing a great job. And so, yes, number three is, first, we said we got to follow God fearlessly. Number two, love God limitlessly. Number three, praise God passionately. Because when we say praise God passionately, we mean praise is only a weapon to win. Praise is only a weapon that's going to help you win when all of your emotions isn't invested in it.
All of you
is invested in your soul, your strength, all of it in it. Because the opposite of passion, or should I say one opposite side of passion, is to be emotionalist, to be religious, to be nonchalantly, to be like, you know, disinterested. You know, I don't care. It don't bother me. And praise would never work when we're just so listless about it, so passive about it. But when we invest, when we say, God, I am interested in what you're interested in, I care about what you care about, and that is a reflection through our words and through our hands and through our mouths, then now your praise, it brings God down into your situation. Remember, the psalmist says he inhabits the praises of his people. Yes. So what happens is, just like you got these two cups here, so I praise, she praise, and what it does is it causes God to come down in the middle of our circumstance and situation and says, praise has brought me down. What do I need to do to fix this matter? So husband and wives, you praise. The kids praise. You know, you get your best friend, you praise, because God is attracted to praise. Now, it's not just that he comes down and gets in the middle. Watch this. Wherever God resides, God rules. Wherever God takes residence, God is going to express his dominance. So once he comes down, now he's going to bring everything into conformity to his likeness and to his will. So this is why wherever Jesus went, he did something to show that he's God in the flesh. It might have been small, it might have been large, but wherever God shows up, he is going to make sure people knew he was present, he was there. So the moment you engage in praise passionately, I'm not talking about being passive. I'm not talking about being emotionless, because somebody may say, well, I'm not a person of emotion. Yes, you are. Let me bother your money. Let me bother your car. There's something that will cause your emotions to come to the surface.
Right.
Let me take you to your favorite restaurant. Let me take you to your favorite store. There's something that would touch your emotions. And I'm saying, when you allow your emotions permission to show gratitude to God, God comes down, gets into your circumstance and say, oh, no, my daughter, my son is not going out like that.
Right.
Now I'm a fight on their behalf.
That's it.
Praise God passionately. When is the last time you praise God as if it was your last time to praise God? When is the last time you praise God as if it was the last time you might be able to really praise God?
That's good.
I mean, really. And I know we in church oftentimes use examples from the world to try to communicate it. But I think about right now, I'm thinking about just when I see the football fans up in places of cold weather, Green Bay, Buffalo, New England, outdoor stadiums, and they're at the stadiums, no T-shirt on, color, you know, face painted up, and they are cheering on their team. You know, that's not moi. I'm a Florida boy. You know, the will of God is 75 degrees and higher. And so it's their passion.
Right.
And for some of them, they may be mild-mannered in their corporate place, but in that moment, they're like, yes, they are cheering on. And I'm saying, when is the last time you didn't hide behind your personality?
Right.
And say, oh, that's just not me. No, when is the last time you said, God, you gave me a personality to express my gratitude to you? And even if I'm reserved and laid back, there is something God has done in your life that you must be willing to say, I'll look like a fool praising God to let him know that I'm grateful and I'm thankful.
Right.
I'm appreciative. I'm saying praise God passionately. Praise him with everything inside of you. Like David. David danced until his clothes came off, until he was naked. I'm the king. The scripture says, his wife said, you made a fool of yourself. And David was like, I am so thankful for what God is doing in my heart, in my life. I am so appreciative for how he's allowed the ark to come back. That if you thought me dancing like that was something, you ain't seen nothing yet. I am saying right now, can it be the way that you get your peace is to praise God without caring about people who criticize or judge you? So right then, just take a 30-second praise break right where you are. Just clap your hands.
Yes.
Just lift your voice. Let God know you are grateful. You're thankful.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you feel, because praise ain't about feeling. You praise. And if you don't feel like praising, praise until you feel like praising.
Amen.
And just let your feelings know that they don't govern your response to God. That's how the world fights. We will clap when you've done, when you do something good for me. But God has already done something for you. Praise him in advance. Praise God passionately.
Amen.
Amen. Number four, Worship God willfully. Worship God willfully. If I'm making sense to you, I need you to show me some sign. Do something. If you like Tracy Braswell, she just puts a shoe in the comment field. And that's her way of saying, not only will I run around the church, but I'm throwing something at you, Pastor Roy. And so I need you to let us know. Watch this. Worship God willfully. This, oh my gosh, this is good. Because if we're honest, many people tend to naturally worry and then eventually worship.
That's good.
I'm going to say that again.
That's true.
I am teaching better than the way you commenting and responding right here. I'm teaching better than the way you commenting right now. Many people tend to naturally worry and then eventually worship. What do you mean? Eventually I'll get around to worship.
Okay.
Eventually I'll get around to really honoring God. But right now I'm worried. I'm worried how I'm going to get my bills paid. I'm worried how I'm going to make it through the month. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about this. And I'm not being sensitive. I'm saying, what the enemy does in crises and situations is to try to intimidate us, make us feel small.
Yeah.
You, look at your resources. They limited. You ain't got enough money.
Right.
You don't even got a savings account.
Right.
You don't have a retirement plan. Look at you. You're not healed. Mm-hmm. Look at you. You don't have this fixed. He tries to intimidate us. We start feeling small and we start shrinking back. And then we start looking at, well, how can I make it work in my own strength? Because evidently God is not with me. And so the intimidation tries to make us turn our eyes on us.
Right.
Man, I got to figure this thing out. I got. How can I make this money stretch? And I'm not saying you and I don't have a role to play. Our role is minor. God is major. And so when we talk about worship God willfully, we're saying, man, I got to make a conscious decision. I am not going to draw back, fall back, shrink back from expecting God to do great things.
Right.
And in the face of intimidation, I got to make God larger. So now worship God willfully means I choose to make God larger. I choose to speak out of my own mouth about who God is and what God is capable of doing. So I choose to confess the ability of God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask, above all that I think. My God is able to keep me from falling. My God shall supply my need.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All things work together for the good of them that loves the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. That the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. You got to choose to willfully worship. It's not that I'm eventually get around. You got to willfully engage in worship to the point that worship becomes your instinctive reaction to every spirit, every circumstance, every situation that's trying to belittle you, to judge you, condemn you, to make you feel defeated, bring you in distress, bring you in discouragement. You got to worship to God, become larger than your problem. God's become larger than your circumstance, that God fills your eyes, fills your mind, fills your heart, fills your soul, to the reality of God become greater than the reality that you're facing.
That's good.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm yelling.
You are, but that's good. It's good. No, but it is good, and it is truth. And I really believe that worshiping God willfully and praising God passionately go hand in hand, especially in this season, because we're in a sanctuary and nobody else is here. And you all are at home or wherever you are in your car, but no one else is with you or not the masses.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of times we put praise in our worship, we put it in the context of the 30-minute praise and worship set or 20-minute praise and worship set that happens before the word or the time after the word where I may or may not shout or run around church, you know, whatever, you know, you do in your places of worship. But here's the thing is in this season, we are challenged that our lives must be a praise.
Yes.
Our lives must be a life of worship. In everything that we do, we carry this attitude and heart position of giving God glory and giving him honor.
Yes.
And that is something that we want to make sure in this time, Lord, make that truth real in my heart. That everything I'm doing it out of a praise to you. Everything I'm doing it in honor and worship with you, recognizing that my faith and my trust is in you.
You have to turn your battleground into a sanctuary, wherever you're fighting.
Right.
You got to turn that place into a sanctuary.
Turn your battleground,
turn your battleground into a sanctuary. Remember, in the time of war, Joshua has a visitation by the army, the captain of the host, the Lord's army comes down, and the scripture says Joshua comes up to him and recognizes it's an angel from the Lord, the captain of the host, and he falls down on his feet, falls down on his face. And I'm saying in the midst of that battle, Joshua started worshiping. Mm. You got to turn your battleground, wherever the battle is, not just internally in your mind.
Yes.
If it's at home and there's no peace in the home, it's full of confusion and strife and disagreement, you got to turn that place into a worship. If it's at the job, turn it into worship. If it's in your community, turn that battleground into worship. Lift your hands. Confess the Lord. Go walk through your community and just speak the blessings of the Lord on every street.
Yes.
Even while you're walking, when we go walk sometimes, we're walking in neighborhoods and we're walking up streets and we're just speaking the blessings over our subdivision. No evil not only will come nigh our house, no evil will come on this street. You get to the next street, no evil, no coronavirus on this street. Heal every house. You're walking, you're speaking the blessings of God. You're causing that place to become a worshipful place, because here's the issue. Two things are going to happen. Either the presence of God is going to be there, or the presence of the world and the enemy is going to be there.
Okay.
And we choose to worship willfully, engage, make that place there. You worship until the reality of God calms your soul and your mind.
That's good.
Until the reality of God calms your mind. You worship until your soul feels better, until your mind is at ease.
Yes.
You worship. You worship until you feel. Listen, for as long as you worry, you should worship that much. For as long as you were, you should be worshiping. Man, if I've been worrying all day, I need to worship all day. Because Bishop Joseph Garland, and many of you know, over Reconciliation Ministries International, who we're a part of, he always talks about, he says, really, worry and fear is a poor use of imagination. Amen. Worry and fear is a poor use of imagination. Because when you worry, it's images. You are imagining the worst.
Right.
Worship is you imagining the best, because God is larger.
That's good. That is good. Write that down, somebody.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Danielle got it. So when you fear and you worry, you're just imagining the worst. But when you worship, you're imagining the best, because you see God. And when you see God, you know the best is yet to come.
That's
the
good.
Best is there. Let me give you this last one and we'll be done. Trust God tirelessly. I'm talking about the weapons in this season. Figuring out your fight.
Yeah.
Follow God fearlessly. Follow him fearlessly. He will never lead you to your demise.
Yeah.
Number two, love God limitlessly. Obey him without excuse or exemptions. Number three, praise God passionately. Put your all into praise. Mm. Number four, worship God willfully. Make him larger than your problems. And then number five, trust God tirelessly. Because here's how the world fights. Deadlines and timelines. Deadlines and timelines. That's part of what we're dealing with now. And we're not making a political argument. It's time for the economy to be reopened. It's time for business to reopen. It's just timelines and deadlines. We've been quarantined too long. Timelines and deadlines. But you know what? That's good for the world, but not God's kingdom.
Okay.
Because in God's kingdom, you're living out eternal practices and eternal perspectives. So there are no timelines and there are no deadlines in a spiritual context. So now as a believer, I got to remember my walk with God is not based upon deadlines and timelines.
Okay.
They're not based upon feelings. They're not based upon fears. They're not based upon even my failings. It is based upon my faith. And so now here is where the rubber meets the road. I have to take my faith off my schedule. I have to no longer put an expiration date on confidence and my endurance in God, both of them. I'm going to say it again.
Yes.
When we talk about trust God tirelessly, I got to stop putting an expiration on how long I'm going to trust God and how long I'm going to keep going with God in this situation.
That's good.
Stop it, because you're only frustrating yourself.
Yeah.
Because if God ain't moved by now, then no. Remember, eternal perspective, eternal practice. The world starts looking at, well, if you ain't got married by 30, now you nobody else ain't going to want you over 40. That deadlines and time. No, you just came into the best season of your life. It could have been that God prevented you from getting married at 30, so you didn't marry beneath your potential.
That's
so
good.
God preserved you. So timelines and deadlines is the worldly way. God says, nah, you walk with me in a tireless context. Now, here's something I wrote down on my notes. My faith may fluctuate, but that doesn't mean I'm in doubt. Just because I may dip, that don't mean I'm in doubt. That shows how much I'm still growing in God and walking with God.
Okay.
My challenge is this right here. Even though I may get tired of trying, I can never get tired of trusting God.
That's good. That's
See,
good.
I may get tired of trying, but I never get tired of trusting God. Because the only option to not trusting God is trusting myself. And I know me. I know me. And you know you. That we have said what we won't do, and look at what we did. Mm-hmm. Don't keep God to your timetable. Take God off the clock we have. Trust God tirelessly. But you don't know how long I've been waiting. Abraham waited 25 years. You don't know how long I've been working on this business. Noah's business of building the ark was 40 years. Before, watch it. I just thought, just saw that. Thank you, God. Working on a business/building for the saving of his family, security, financial security, emotional security.
Right.
40 years. Now, watch this. It didn't take off, get off the ground with the flood until after 40 years. And you want to throw in the towel after 40 days. And
That's good.
I'm just saying, you want me to take it a step further? When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have sent Jesus immediately next after that to rectify everything.
Right.
Thousands of years later, Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. So could it be that the only reason you're still on the clock believing and trusting God is because he's still setting the stage?
Still setting the stage. That's good.
Because the conductor does not come out until everyone in the orchestra is in their seat. And could it be that your master conductor don't show up until all the pieces are in their place.
Hallelujah.
And then, like a master conductor, he comes and just simply takes his wand, and he can make sense out of all the dissonance and disconnect. All that you're trying to make sense. What's that tuba sounding like that? What's that brass? What's that? But he steps on because everybody's now in seat, in place, and with his hand, he begins to show you all things will work together. That season over there, that season over there, that season over there, that hurtful season over there, that prosperous season. Right. Now I am going to, watch this, I am going to bring to pass the greatest symphony.
Yes.
I am going to make sense out of the disconnect. The notes that you can't interpret, I am going to bring them into harmony and create my greatest masterpiece. But you got to trust me tirelessly. You can't let me be in operation and say, I'm only going to trust God for the next 21 days.
Right.
No, you got to say, I'm in this hook, line, and sinker.
Right. Right. Because not only are his weapons not different from the weapons of this world, but his timing is different. You know, he says his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Like his timing is different. And we have to trust God's timing. And the thing is that is an intentional act that is often daily and moment by moment when you're in a fight. It is not something that we just all of a sudden remember. We think it not strange. As soon as you click end to this series, to this message today, as soon as you cut your computer off or cut your phone off, there is a good chance you will be challenged to continue trusting God.
Yes, it's the time.
Think it not strange.
God tirelessly. Will you get tired? Will it seem like your faith is in vain? Yes. Come on, we're not exempt from that. Yeah, believe in God. But what is your alternative to not trusting God? And do you think that any other option outside of trusting God is really going to give you the victory give you a breakthrough? Come on, let's be honest. Come close. Don't disconnect. Don't disengage. Come on, let's be real. Because this is the real talk, real moment.
Yeah.
Do you really believe in your heart any option outside of trusting God is really going to satisfy your soul, give you joy, the breakthrough? Do you really believe? Well, Pastor, you don't know. Well, trusting God hadn't paid off. Says who? Well, I don't feel like, we don't go by our feelings.
That's right.
Well, I'm still in debt. Well, hold up. Just because you don't have what you want doesn't mean God hadn't been faithful.
That's good.
I'm about to mess up a good message. Because now I got to make sure I'm not carrying a sense of entitlement.
Right.
sometimes entitlement causes us to miss that we're more victorious than we really are. And so I'm saying, trust God tirelessly. His timing will bring the best of his promises out. Let me close with the big so what and the takeaway. Any questions, comments?
Lots of comments.
They're preaching.
They are preaching, and I love it.
They're preaching.
Keep
encouraging your brother and sister. Here is the big so what to take away. If I fight the right way, then the fight will always go my way. See, if I fight the right way, the way God tells me to fight, the fight will always go my way. It will always go my way. Like, well, I don't feel like I'm going. You keep fighting God's way, you're going to come out victorious. It's going to end up with you in the winner's circle. Because we already know the Christian life is not a walk through roses. It is a contact sport. You have an enemy who's trying to take you out mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, all those things. So it's a contact sport. But if I fight the way God's fight, I am going to come out victorious.
That's good.
You know, one of the things I love every now and then to watch is all the Karate Kid 1 and 2, the old with Mr. Miyagi, the old ones, with Pat Morita. And isn't it funny that Danielson never thought he was prepared for battle?
Right.
And Mr. Miyagi all reminded him, like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, it don't look like it. You know, wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. You know, I mean, you know, painting, long stroke. You know, I mean, and then especially number three, when they go to his home country, you know, and he's like, what is that? And he shows him the place, you know, by the lake, by the beach, where you had the, I guess that's the pulley that comes down and is made into the little instrument that you turn from side to side. And you're like, this ain't helping me. What is this? This is just like a toy. It don't do anything. But then in the time of battle, what did Miyagi do? Pulled it out and just started turning it. And you're like, man, that's a toy. I was just playing with a toy. But that's how he won. Hitting it. Poof. Pop. 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 Don't.
Stay with you. Him.
Okay. She said stay with us. My point is, could it be that you are more victorious than what you think or feel?
Yeah.
And I'm saying press through that tiredness. Press through. Press through. Press through. Press through, press through. Now, here's your weekly challenge. I want you to read Psalm 141 through 150. And one of these areas where you feel like you're not strong in, one of those key areas we talked about, I just want you to focus on it this week.
Yes.
And just commit to improving, being better. Find you some scriptures that speak to it and just become more disciplined in that area. And then this week, encourage seven people. Just encourage seven people. Somebody I know, like Danielle, Eunice, and all these ones that's all, especially on social media, more than I can ever be, Shahida, all of you people like that, they may just put a post up that's with a quote from Pastor Roy. There we go. I encourage seven people right there. I'm just saying, encourage seven people this week. Just encourage them because watch this. Somebody may encourage you.
Absolutely. And a lot of times the best medicine is to give away what you need.
Yes.
And in this time when we're in this fight, we're engaged in this fight, and the enemy is trying to come at you, be it mentally or spiritually or even physically, a lot of times we used to say in college, you know, kick the devil with your lifestyle.
Yes.
But a lot of times you need to kick the devil where he's trying to kick you.
Yes.
So if he's trying to mentally bring you into a place of loneliness and despair, then you need to give encouragement and love.
Yes.
You know, to someone else. So.
And we just say have fun. Have a great day. Because here's the deal. You're already victorious. Don't believe the enemy's hype and lies. Mm-hmm. You're already more than a conqueror.
That's right.
You're already there. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from the place of being victory. But you got to use the weapons that God has already given you and don't wage war like the world. Amen. We love
Amen.
You guys.
Amen.
Appreciate y'all so much for tuning in. Did we miss anything?
No, I think we covered everything. And thank you for all of the messages that were online.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. So we're excited. We are going to go ahead and close out in prayer.
Yeah, we'll close out in prayer. Love you guys. To God be the glory for the things we've done. Continue to be safe. Exercise faith and wisdom. You're covered by the blood. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but use faith and wisdom in your daily decisions and actions. Let the peace of God rule your heart and mind. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And let the face of the Lord shine upon you and your countenance.
Yes.
And may you be successful in everything that God has entrusted in your heart and called you to do and be. This is our prayer for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Have a great day. Send this service to everybody in your circle and tell them, watch it. And if they say, I don't need it, say, yes, you will. And you will need it one day in the future. So, all right. All right. Be blessed. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.